So where did it all go wrong? Well, we have to turn to the Enlightenment.
All right.
Which, who can be opposed to Enlightenment? Well, there was a lot of things wrong in the Enlightenment as well. But people who say this sort of thing that, you know, that, that I, you know, give me enough proof and then I'll believe, they kind of go back to this spirit of René Descartes. And Descartes was a philosopher who is often considered the father of the Enlightenment. In fact, in my modern worldview class, we pinpointed him in his cabin for 3 days as the epicenter for the transition to the modern worldview. And certainly he's the father of an autonomous spirit of philosophy. And he was a French scholar or theoretician who kicked off the Age of Reason. In fact, my intro class, there's the intro book. I paid $3.75 for probably what's a three-page online article now. But Descartes, Meditation on First Philosophy, went into the woods by himself, thought himself down, thought himself back up.
Went
to
into
everything.
A stove is what he called it.
I mean, you know.
Which we would call now a cabin with a stove, right?
You have to give him credit. You have to appreciate what he did. I mean, you know, here's this guy in France and a Catholic who's going to revolutionize everything. 3 days. That's all it takes for you to become a household name back then. So he's the one that kind of kicks off this named Age of Reason.
Yeah.
And so Descartes here was concerned that people should strive to realize that and to follow a reliable method for arriving at their beliefs. And so that's what he was trying to do and accomplish. And according to him, that method requires doubting and criticizing everything you could possibly could or accept nothing to be true that you did not clearly recognize to be true because it survived the method of doubt. In fact, reading his book, that's what he does. He says, oh, I know all these things, but I could be deceived. I could, you know, the evil genie could come out.
I could be dreaming.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, it's your classical Matrix storyline here. You know, if you read Descartes, you're going to be thrust into Matrix territory, which
that's right.
When I was going through my philosophy classes, it was out. So we knew enough to.
So you wonder, how did Descartes know about the Matrix? You know, it was written, you know, long after. Yeah.
Exactly.
Probably exactly. The other way around. Maybe, though, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it's all a dream and everything's taking place. All right. So if we can't clearly recognize it to be true, then it has to survive this method of doubt. If we had a way of getting down to the things that we can't give up, the thing that is unquestionable, then we could build on top of that little by little. And that's exactly what he tries to do. We would have a secure foundational knowledge that we could use for encountering the world. In fact, while I might not be able to prove that your mind exists, I could, for the sake of argument, say, let's assume that both of us really do exist. I'm going to put forth this to you. And so I'm going to give you an equal platform to start with. And so here I've put myself at the center and I'm building up from me. And for us Christians, we might have a little bit of an issue with that.
Right, right. And so, you know, Descartes was trying to, he asked himself, what is the foundation of knowledge, right? What's the basis of knowledge? And so this doubting, really, there was an issue between rationalism and empiricism that he was working through. And he was criticizing empiricism, right? Our experience, right? And he said, basically, we can doubt all of our experience, right? All the things that we can see, taste, touch, feel, all of our empirical, you know, sensory experience. Yeah. And so he says those can't be the foundation. That cannot be the foundation of knowledge. There has to be something that is more secure. He was looking for what he called an Archimedean point, right? And so he systematically doubted, and then a door opened to certainty, he thought. He thought of something that could not be doubted, and that was, you know, his own existence, right? If you are doubting everything, basically his arguments, he concluded, I can doubt everything, but doubting, and doubting is thinking, and therefore, you know, I'm a thinking being that and I have to exist in order to think. And so for Descartes, the foundation of everything was himself, right? I think, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's, as Bahnsen tells us, there's a modern man for you. Right. He is the center. He's the foundation. I am the foundation. Right.
If I can doubt, then there must be an I to exist for me to doubt. Right. So the evil genie could be pulling the wool over my eyes for I'm sitting in this chair, I'm eating an apple, I'm feeling pain. All those things could be false sensory perversions on a massive scale. But the very fact that I can doubt my existence means I can't doubt that existence because. Right. From that initial starting point, I must exist in order for something to occur.
Now, Bahnsen does take him to task on mm-hmm. this, right? He says that he went just a little bit. He didn't go as far as he should have, right? He should have ended by saying something like, doubting is going on. So he kind of assumed the I,
right.
Which is a criticism that a lot of folks
done. Yep, absolutely. Right? Yep. Yeah. I think, therefore I am. Whoa. You lost me at the word I. So.
Thinking is going on. You know?
Maybe on the fourth day, he could have one more day.